President Biden's talking about $10,000 in tax credits for home buyers and home sellers? What? Let's discuss. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to T-Lop with me, Dustin Owen, and my main man,
JC.
John Coleman.
Yo, what's poppin'?
Yo, did you watch the president's State of the Union address?
What do you think?
I mean, my answer is a resounding hell to the no.
What the fuck? I have better things to do.
I don't watch this president's State of the Union. I didn't watch the last president's State of the Union. I didn't watch the president before that, the president before that.
Shout out to all the people that actually believe in politics, like they actually make a difference.
To me, politics is very much like going and watching the WWE. A.K.A. WWF.
Thank you. I don't know what you were talking about.
I did that just for you. Like, look, behind the stage, right? Backstage. Behind the scenes, backstage.
It's all fake people.
Backstage, they're all friends. Yeah. Like, sure, this guy doesn't get along with that guy. That's just because of personality conflicts.
Yeah.
Then they go out in the ring and they act like they don't like each other and they act like, you know, they're on opposing sides. No, they're on the same side. Mm-hmm. That's called money and power.
Yeah.
That's the side that they're on. But no, I quit watching the State of the Union because it's a clown show on both sides. I don't care who's president. Mm-hmm. It's a clown show. And then whoever the opposing party is, they have their rebuttal, right? They have their response. And man, this poor elected official from the state of Alabama.
Please don't tell me this. I don't know. What happened?
John?
I don't care.
You have to care about this. This poor lady. It was like a bad audition for Gilmore Girls. It was terrible.
People
and she's getting
shit?
Ripped apart Good. By her own party. Good. She got made fun of on SNL. But no, nonetheless, I, like you, did not watch the State of the Union, and I tend to not watch it, but I do want to follow it. I would love to see what is written about it in NPR. I would love to hear what, you know, some of the more, you know, neutral broadcast networks, high level.
There's no such thing.
High level. You're correct. There's no such thing. there's no such thing as neutral, right? We all have our bias and we all have our angles and our own agendas, but I try to find those that are the most neutral. Mm-hmm. And then from there, understand what's going on. So today's episode, we're going to discuss one part of that State of the Union address.
This episode is mostly you talking at me and me just interjecting with funny quips here and there. This is going to be one of those episodes.
One of those episodes. It'll be a good episode because of that.
Yeah, it will.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, I do enjoy following what's going on because it is current events. Yeah. And I love to be able to go to a party or go to a networking function and discuss and be aware of what's going on because I want to know what other people are getting riled up over.
Yeah.
Then I can probably behind their back laugh at them and chuckle.
Right.
But I also just need to understand it on a very surface level. So what we're going to talk about today, I've done a little bit more research on, and I'm going to give the audience a general understanding. Here we are a week removed from the State of the Union address, and in that State of the Union address, the president discussed tax credits for the American public when it comes to selling and buying real estate. Okay, that impacts us, what we stand for, the industry that we support, and the reason why people tune into our YouTube channel. So we're going to discuss that, and I'm going to give you all my take on what it really means in most common bespoke language.
The common folk, bro. What is this, like another, okay, yeah.
What?
No, go ahead. Is this another stimulus package or some shit? Where's my check at?
You'll get a check, John.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get a check if you're a first-time home buyer.
All these fucking rules. What's the next stipulation? Got to be 12 and under? First-time home buyer, 12 years old.
No. No, you'll get a check if you sell your house with stipulations. And really, this will only happen if it gets turned into a law, until it gets executed. It gets signed by the president, which means you have the House and the Senate need to come together, and they need to draft legislation that they agree upon. Mm-hmm. That then has to get signed.
What do you mean? They posted an article on the internet about something that hasn't even happened yet? Potentially, it might not even happen.
Yes, that is why I don't tune in to State of the Union addresses, because it's worse than watching a debate. It is worse.
This is like in high school, like, hey, vote for me. I'm gonna put soda machines in the student lounge. Too bad there is no student lounge, dumbass.
Yes, Yes. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm going to put soda machines in the student lounge. Let's say there was a student lounge, but it's like, but I'm only a 17-year-old. I don't have any clout or say. I have to first talk to the assistant principal, who then talks to the principal, who then has to go to the county and then sit in front of the education board just to find out that someone else already has a contract
with the
county.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and by the way, the person with the contract happens to be the superintendent's uncle.
Oh, wow. Okay, now this makes total sense. This makes total sense.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, when any president or elected official stands up and says, I'm going to do this, it's like, yes, that's my intention. That's my goal. Let's see if I can make that happen.
Yo, that need to come with a little, like, fine print at the bottom. Like, they do with tobacco ads and, like, the pharmaceutical companies. You need to have, like, a disclaimer at the bottom. Like, this may not actually, results may vary.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when your wife or my wife tells us, hey, go out, have fun, don't drink too much. I'm like, okay, I'll try.
Nah, that's like, that means stay home. Translation, stay home.
I will try to go out and have fun and not drink too much.
Right, I will do all three.
That is my intention.
I will do all three.
Yes, so the president's intention, this is kind of like his, this is what I plan on doing if I can get enough people to rally behind the idea and I can garner enough votes and enough, what would you call that, momentum.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about because it is in the news, it is relevant, and we should jump right into it. So, as announced, first and foremost, you and I kind of teased it when we were going back and forth. Y'all, please know none of this is set in stone. None of this has been drafted, signed off by the president, by drafting like the House and the Senate. They have not come together to discuss any of these matters. All that happened was our president stood in front of the American people. He gave his State of the Union address. That's something he does once a year, every single year. And it's not just this president. It's every president in my lifetime has done this. And it's them talking about where we are as a country and where we're trying to go and what initiatives they think are going to be the best for the bulk of the American populace. Not everybody, right? You can't, like, I can't even, I say this all the time. I can't plan a vacation for my wife and I and you and your wife and make everyone happy, right? Everything from the airline to where we fly into, to the time of day, to the restaurants we go to.
If there's no kids, if it's a kid-free zone, you can book me anywhere and I'll have a great time.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But if I added another couple, I promise you they're not as late. Okay, there we go. So, like, you can't do anything in life and make everybody happy. So any president that I've ever witnessed, like, their goal is to do what they think is best for the American populace, for the country, and what's great for the group. And great for the group is not always great for all. So nonetheless, one of the many topics that he discussed was something that pertains to home buyers and home sellers.
Okay, I'm listening.
So then, yeah, we're going to talk about that. But what people have to know is the way that this would come about is that you'd have to have the congressmen and women in the House, as well as the senators in the Senate, are each going to have to draft legislation. They're each going to have to approve the legislation. Then they're going to have to push the legislation up to the president to have him sign off on it. And right now, it is hard to get people in our Congress to agree on anything. It's the most divisive and divided it's ever been. Now, something like housing tends to not be overly polarizing the way that, you know, military spending could be polarizing, the way that social programs could be polarizing, or immigration reform could be polarizing. Like, housing is something that you can get just about anybody with a pulse and half a brain behind, especially when it talks about creating more affordable housing, helping people become homeowners. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. The problem is the people who are not in power don't want to give the people in power any type of win. So because of that, you could see people that are like, yeah, that's a great idea, but no, I'm not going to support it. What do you mean you're not going to support it?
I just don't like you, so no, I'm not voting for your shitty bill.
Yes. Yes. Or so I'm still mad at you for not supporting something I did 3 months ago. I'm going to hold that over your head, so I'm not going to support that. Or I'm only going to support that if you in turn are willing to support these three things, at which point the person who's pro-legislation would be like, I'm not supporting your three shitty things. And they're like, well, I'm not going to support your one great thing.
Can we just have like one grown-up in the room just stand up and try to run this shit?
Never, ever, ever, ever. No, not since the beginning of our country have we had one grown-up in the room. Yeah, the closest grown-up I think we ever had might have been George Washington. The second closest would probably be Abraham Lincoln. And even then, you had crazy amounts of divisiveness, and you had polar opposite opinions and stances and takes on what is good for the American populace. So gotcha. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Let's get into, now that we've set the stage, okay, here's what's being proposed. Here's what we could potentially, maybe one day, see a version of if things go our way. Okay. If you are a home buyer and you're making, the number that I've read, the number I'm going to use, is less than $200,000 in household income. Household, so that's, you know, if you're married, that's two people. If you're single, that's one person. But household income of 200 grand or less, and you're buying your first house. Now, typically, what does that mean to be buying your first house? Probably means that you haven't had any mortgage interest showing up on your personal tax returns in 3 years. That's normally how things like this have been done.
Okay.
Now, granted, I'm not an elected official. I'm not going to have a chance to actually draft any of this legislation, vote on it, or even sign off on it. But that's typically what we've done in the past, i.e. 2000 in, was it like 9, 10, or 11? Around that time frame, we passed as a government an $8,000 tax credit for homebuyers. And these are like some of the similar characteristics. So the numbers I'm seeing is 200 grand. And if you buy a house, let's say in 2024, maybe it extends to 2025, we'll have to wait and see, then you'll be eligible to achieve a $5,000 tax credit this tax year and a $5,000 tax credit next tax year. Now, the purpose of this is to try to make home ownership, quote unquote, more affordable. So the government isn't going to step up to the plate and subsidize interest rates right away. They could, by the way. That's what the Federal Reserve does when they start purchasing mortgage-backed securities. They tend to only do that when they're trying to stimulate the economy. And right now, the Federal Reserve is still trying to slow the economy down. So the Federal Reserve is not going to be jumping in and manipulating. And quite honestly, the legislators should never have a say in what the Federal Reserve does. The Federal Reserve is supposed to be agnostic. It's supposed to be removed. It's supposed to be not a part of, you know, Democrat, Republican, you know, this senator, this congresswoman.
Yo, good for you for saying that with a straight face. Yes. Holy.
So nonetheless, that would be one way that the federal government could make homeownership more affordable. They could just go and force the hand of the Federal Reserve. Well, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
So what they're trying to do is say, okay, well, how can we achieve homeownership, making it more affordable? Well, let's maybe potentially offer these tax credits. Because a tax credit, I don't know if people know the difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit.
Yeah, what is the difference?
Okay. A tax deduction would be this. I made 100 grand last year, but I'm allowed to deduct $5,000 from my taxable income. So instead of 100,000, I'm only going to be taxed on 95,000.
Okay,
that's a deduction. And most of us, we have a standard deduction that is already given us, right? So the standard deduction is 20-some thousand dollars. So if you made 100, you're really only paying taxes on like $76,000 or $74,000.
Okay.
And even that, you're not paying a whole lot of taxes on your first, whatever it is. I'm not a CPA by trade, but it may be you're not paying taxes on your first $8,000 to $13,000. And then from $14,000 to $20,000, you're paying a smaller percentage, and then it kind of steeps up.
Okay.
But that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
People thinking they're paying way more in taxes as a percentage than what they really do. And that is That's a bar bet that I would win 99 times out of 100. When someone tells me how much they pay in taxes as a percentage, and I tell them they're wrong, and I tell them it's way less than that number, and then we get out their tax return, we get out a calculator, and we reverse engineer it, and I prove to them that in their mind, I pay 25% tax. I'm like, no, you don't. You pay 25% tax on your last $8,000, but you did not pay 25% taxes. You probably paid closer to 16% taxes. That was... I got a total sidebar on that one.
I didn't even wind you up. That's just
you didn't wind me up
about these numbers and shit.
Yeah. So back on a tax credit versus a
tax deduction.
A deduction would be just that you're deducting a certain dollar amount. A credit is way better. So what the president spoke about in his State of the Union address, it was tax credit. So that would be this. Hey, John, after you filed your tax return, you're getting $3,000 back.
For what?
Well, that's just because you overpaid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go. Hell yeah.
But you know what? You have a tax credit.
Uh-huh.
So I'd be like, add $5,000, baby. Your $3,000 just became eight. Hey,
for what?
What? Well, because you earned a tax credit this year.
Okay.
Because you maybe purchased your first house.
So yeah.
And guess what? Next year?
Yeah.
We're going to give you another $5,000 tax credit if you met the criteria.
Okay.
Because here's the idea. Because the government can't go around and force every seller to drop their sales price by 20%, and because they can't manipulate the markets and force interest rates to come down by 1.5%, they think, well, what can we do? Well, what if we incentivize first-time home buyers by offering them these tax credits? We're going to tell them it's 10 grand, but we're going to break it up over 2 years. So it's 5 grand in year one, it's 5 grand in year two, but it's a credit, which is different than a deduction. So again, in your case, if you were supposed to get $3,000 back on this year's tax return, and let's say you had earned a tax credit, you take whatever that tax credit is and you add it to what you're already getting back. So if you're already getting back 3 grand, now you're getting 8. Well, theoretically, you could take that extra 5 grand that you weren't anticipate getting, and that 5 grand could be used to subsidize your mortgage payment for the next 12 months because the government just handed you a check for 5 grand that you weren't expecting.
Right.
So roughly, if I did my math correctly, 12 goes into 5 grand roughly 433 times. So it would be equivalent to you having an extra $433 a month to help subsidize that mortgage payment.
Right.
So if that 7 or 7.5% rate freaks you out, the government still encouraged you to go buy your first house by offering you this tax credit. So that's the purpose of the tax credit. And the 1.5% in the research that I've done is that is the average that when you factor in the value of a tax credit, it's equivalent to getting an interest rate that was 1.5% lower than whatever the current market was. And that's the thought process behind it. But now people like me are going to have an issue with a tax credit for home buyers.
Yeah. Hold on. Question for you.
Yes.
Before you get started, who checks to make sure this isn't just like a misspent, like alimony check and they just go blow it on like last year's Stingray or Ferrari?
Nobody does. Nobody does, John.
So
the same people who check to make sure that any other type of government assistance check,
Wait a minute.
Whether it's...
So this thing is just going to create more STEMIs. I'm tired of STEMIs everywhere. That's all...
And good. Look, so if you're on one side of the aisle, you may be like, look, I love first-time home buyers. I believe in home ownership. However...
NIMBY.
However, I want to keep... Mm-hmm. I want to keep free money out of the marketplace. So I'm voting no. You would potentially vote no against this bill, John. That's okay.
Where's my credit for not having kids? Can we pass that law?
Can we talk about the house of card that the house of card society is, John? Like listen, you, if you're not growing, you're dying. That's a business.
Listen,
that's as an individual.
Hey,
and that
I cleaned up my room. Whoever's behind me, it's fine. Listen, all I leave behind is footprints in the sand dust. Then I can't believe I could just constantly getting screwed over. First-time home buyers, money here. Get married, get divorced, money here. Oh, you did this. Oh, you had a flat tire tax credit. It's like everything happens, but
I mean, so,
I'm sorry.
If you would like, the extra money that comes with being a parent, would you want the extra cost and responsibility?
No, that shit does not add up. Okay. I can do that math.
Okay,
$5,000 tax versus $1 million, $2 million to raise a little bastard.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and you not having children is now you're not putting more adults into the workforce. You're not creating more consumers to buy goods. You are the reason why society might not exist because you didn't procreate.
I'm doing Mother Earth a favor. You're welcome, guy.
Are you? I don't know. You're a good-looking guy. Your wife's a good-looking lady.
The Earth does not deserve our offspring.
They don't deserve it.
No. No, I wouldn't put my little man in that position. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. But, so I can't speak to tax credits for being a parent. Or tax credits for being a caregiver, or tax credits for being married or not married or divorced.
Right.
Okay, but we can't speak to tax credits as it pertains to buying your first home. Mm-hmm. And this is what is being
proposed.
Proposed.
Say everything goes good. I mean, green light. You get the fast lane, toll roads in Florida. How long could this turn around and actually become reality? Like, give me a rough time. Like, if everything goes on, by like 2 years. Like, is it that long or could it be like 4 months?
Yeah. Wow. That's a loaded question. Could it be something that gets penned, drafted, negotiated, and approved in 3 months? Yes. During an election year? Hell to the no. Mm. Because they're proponents, right? You have a group, let's just call them Ds, that are probably going to be pro this. You have a group, let's call them R's, they're going to find a reason to be against it. Even if the R's were for it, the R's do not want to give the D's a win when there's a big election coming up in November. So they're probably going to sit on this until December, January, or February of next year, more than likely. There's a saying in D.C. that, like, nothing ever happens in election year. Nothing good, nothing bad, right? So, like, wherever the stock market typically is going into an election year, it tends to be a good year for the stock market because nothing good and nothing bad happens. It is a very neutral year. So for that reason, and that reason alone, I would tell you I don't see this bill, or I don't see a bill being drafted and going to the president for signature in 2024. I just don't. I see this as something that would happen in February or March in 2025. Now, they might make it retroactive for 24, and then they may include anyone who purchased a home in 24, anyone who purchased a home in 25. I don't know, right? Because, again, no one has voted me into office, so I don't really get a say, so it really doesn't matter. But what I was going to share with the group is when it comes to tax credits for purchasing homes, typically we have seen this work when home buyers were sitting on the sidelines.
Okay.
Home buyers are not sitting on the sidelines. I don't think we have to entice home buyers to go get after it. I think home buyers want to go get after it if there's enough inventory. But there hasn't been enough inventory. So a naysayer, even I may be in this camp. I don't know if I am. I don't have enough data in front of me to tell you where I stand one direction or the other. But surface level, I could be like, hey, y'all, I don't think we necessarily need to have tax credits for home buyers because you would only use a tax credit to incentivize someone to do something they weren't already doing.
Nah.
And I think there's enough home buyers who want to buy if we had the right inventory. So then that comes the second part of these lobbied or proposed tax credits, what was discussed, mentioned in the State of the Union address. Tax credits for sellers. Aha. This may be the better of the two ideas. No offense to our first-time homebuyers out there, right? But the gridlock, based on how I see it and experience it, is because sellers are locked into that interest rate because sellers aren't willing to put their home on the market. Therefore, it doesn't matter how many buyers we have, there's no inventory for them. So if the federal government could offer a $10,000 tax credit to anyone who sells their home under certain stipulations, that could be the greater of the two. And that is being proposed. There's a $10,000 tax credit for sellers that if you sell your home, and here's how I read it, here's how I understand it. If you sell your home to a owner-occupant, it didn't say to a first-time home buyer. It just said to somebody who is actually going to occupy this property as their primary residence. And your home, this is the key, and your home is at or below the median sales price in your market, you'd be eligible for a $10,000 tax credit. Again, it's a credit, not a deduction. So this is legit free money that, I mean, you may owe 10 grand to the IRS, but if you had a $10,000 tax credit, now you owe $0 to the IRS. Like, that's a $10,000 win.
Just so I follow you, is this either or? Either you get, the seller gets it, or the buyer, like first-time home buyers, or could it be potentially both?
Well, if you think about it, you wouldn't have a way to sell a home.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have someone to buy it.
No. Oh. No, like, I couldn't sell a home and get a tax credit and also get a tax credit to buy, because the tax credit to buy is only for first-time home buyers.
But
I wouldn't be a first-time home buyer if I had a home to sell. You follow me there?
I do.
Yeah. Now, is it possible that I could be a seller and I'm selling my house to you for $335,000 and that's the median sales price in my market of Orlando, Florida? And because of that, I achieve and receive a $10,000 tax credit from good old Uncle Sam. You come in as a first-time home buyer and you buy my house, then you too would achieve and receive that same $10,000 tax credit. So if you're asking that question,
yeah,
the same property, the same transaction could essentially have up to $20,000 in total credits.
Oh, wow.
$10,000 to me, the seller, and then $10,000 to you, the buyer. I would get mine, let's say, that tax year. You would get yours spread out amongst two tax years. But it's a way to incentivize me to not just sell my house, but it's also going to incentivize me to sell my house to someone who's going to call it their owner-occupied property. So not selling to Open Door. I'm not selling it to Homevestors. I'm not selling it to, you know, some private, hedge fund.
Private companies.
Yeah, I'm literally selling my house to Mr. and Mrs. Coleman, who are first-time home buyers. And you got to think, like, some people may own homes that are their vacation properties. They may sell homes that are investment properties. Mm-hmm. And because of the amount of appreciation they have achieved or earned, there's going to be a taxable event when that seller sells the home, because they're going to have to pay capital gains tax because those homes aren't their primary residence. Well, how cool would it be to incentivize me? Let's say, and I do own a rental property. So let's say I own a rental property and I have the opportunity to sell it to a owner occupant. And because my rental property is in that median sales price zone, then all of a sudden, any taxable event that I would have occurred because I sold that property mm-hmm. now gets wiped out with a credit. Ah, and that's something that I think our elected officials should look into. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to hate on first-time home buyers. And if we need to give them a tax credit, let's give them a tax credit. But I think my professional experience speaking, the tax credit to sellers, that's where it's at, because we need to get sellers to put their homes on the market. Like, a buyer can go buy a house today, and this is where we get into the whole, like, marry the house but date the rate. So you can get into a home today, qualify for the mortgage, and anticipate that within 12 to 24 months, there's a good chance you're going to be refinancing into a new home loan yeah. that has a cheaper interest rate and a lower payment. So I don't know if we necessarily need this tax incentive for first-time home buyers, but to sellers, I think it's a genius idea. I put the DOTLOP stamp of approval on that bad boy.
Now, we should make one of those. That'd be cool.
What, a TLOP stamp of approval?
Like a gavel?
A gavel. Gavin's the lead singer of Bush.
Creed.
No, Bush. Good, he was also you. Gwen Stefani's ex-husband.
What is this, trivia?
I'm just running through. Gavin Rossdale.
I would have kept it going.
Yeah.
That was insightful, Dustin.
Thank you. There's one more tax credit we're going to talk about, John, and then we can wrap it up.
Oh, shit. More? But wait, there's more. Are you kidding me?
But wait, yes, because there's another one that I think is as impactful.
Holy shit.
As impactful as the one for sellers.
Okay.
Like, look, I think the one for buyers is fluff. In fact, you taught me this. That may have been the one giveaway. Right, to where, like, the president stands up and he postures from the podium and he speaks and presents to the American public.
Lies.
And then work has to get done. Yeah. And then during the negotiations, maybe the legislators are like, you know what? We really dig two of these. We don't like a third.
Sacrificial lamb.
Yes, maybe the sacrificial lamb, maybe the tax credit for home buyers.
Yep.
Although nobody wants to come out and say that. Like, that's like saying you don't want to support disabled people. Or the elderly. Yeah. Like, nobody ever wants to come out and be like, oh yeah, I'm not for special services for the disabled. I'm not for special services for, but at the end of the day, decisions have to be made. Maybe there could be an argument not to offer a tax credit to first-time home buyers, because the one to the sellers
mm-hmm.
is going to be more impactful. And then this next one, which is tax credits to developers and home builders. What if we could unlock that gridlock? What if we could incentivize those folks to do two things? Either build affordable housing. So affordable housing is housing at which the sales prices are at or below the median sales price for that area. Or what if they can incentivize a developer to go in to certain neighborhoods, purchase old, rundown, dilapidated homes, and go ahead and fix them up, rehab them, repair them,
mm-hmm.
renovate them.
Isn't that called gentrification?
And then put them back on the market, at which point there would be a tax credit or a tax incentive to do that. Would that allow businesses, home builders, real estate investors, developers, would that be enough for them to go in and say, you know what, I normally wouldn't have purchased this property because the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, the risk wasn't worth the reward, but knowing that I can basically add $10,000, quote unquote, revenue to this project, all of a sudden it goes from it didn't make sense to now it does make sense. And the overall goal, and I actually had to like write this down and
Oh, shit.
But like the overall goal is that could this create 2 million more units in terms of a tax credit to developers and builders? And then the tax credit to sellers, could that create an extra 3.5 million units? So could we essentially, over the next 18 to 36 months, create 3.5 million incremental homes that are all at or below the median sales price for each and every market? That would be the goal. And that is what we are missing. Like when we talked about this incessantly, every other episode for the past 4 years, like what is the U.S. residential real estate market missing? It's missing enough homes to keep up with the number of household formations. And when we talk about homes, enough starter homes, enough affordable housing. And a lot of that has to do with we can't find land cheap enough. There's too much red tape to actually develop. The cost of materials, the cost of labor, et cetera. But government intervention could also come in the form of tax credits and could potentially stimulate the creation of more units. So that is what the president was in a nutshell. That's a long-ass nutshell. But in a nutshell, that is what he meant when he spoke about tax credits for home buyers and tax credits for sellers at the most recent State of the Union. Does that make sense, John? Do you feel like you are more in the know now after spending 35 minutes with me?
I do, man. To that last point, that sounds great, but that's all null and void because we can't get enough lumber from Canada. So you taught me that.
Well, we had a big issue with getting lumber out of Canada.
So yeah.
Well, I mean, that was like a year or two ago. I haven't kept up with the Canadian wildfires, nor the tariffs that we were.
You never know. I just thought I'd throw it out there as a nugget to be like, I absorb things you say and can like reference them at the end of episodes.
Yeah, no, I totally appreciate that. And I hope you all appreciated this episode. Right. The goal was to bring context to something that was addressed to our nation by our leader and now is being written and published about. And what I wanted to say is, hey, look, it's all too new to really know. But if it were to roll out, this is the headwind that we're up against. If we're able to get through the headwinds, this is how it would roll out, how it would benefit, and why it's being proposed. And if you have questions, because this is one of those topics that we could go down many rabbit holes. If you have questions, this is a time where I'm going to say, look me up. First name Dustin, last name Owen. I am on LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out to me. I don't care if you feel like you need to correct me because I misspoke. Hopefully it's less about that and it's more about having a particular question. You could be a home buyer. You could be a real estate agent. You could be a real estate investor. And you have a question about how this could pertain to you or how it could benefit you. I'd be more than happy to spend a little bit of time answering those queries. You can also hit us up on Instagram. We are at the Loan Officer Podcast. And then, by the way, keep on following us. If you like what we're doing and you like what we're saying, give us a 5-star review. Share us with not one, not two, but three people that you care about. Go to our YouTube channel. TLOP is the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. TLOP, formerly the Loan Officer Podcast. And keep tuning in. Keep digging what we do. Keep telling people about it. Come find us at one of the events we're going to be speaking at. Look at joining our newsletter, joining our Facebook private group, and looking to us if you're a mortgage loan originator for some of your coaching or sales development needs. But on that note, he's John Coleman. I'm Dustin Owen. You've just recently tuned into an episode of TLOP. That's all the time we have for you for today, but we do look forward to catching you on the next episode. Peace.